Dear friends, the two verses before the text which was just read read as follows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And then the first verse of our text, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. The Christian religion contains many paradoxes. There are many. And most of them turn on the principle of the proper division and application of law and gospel. And if there is one thing that you men who aspire to the holy ministry must give careful attention while you are here, it's learning to distinguish and properly apply law and gospel. You remember Luther said that he who learns this art very carefully should have a doctor's degree. It's easily memorized, but it's not so easy to live it out. Christ is a paradox. He tells us in John 14, he told his disciples and us too, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid. But here he says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. These two statements are not contradictory, they are paradoxical. A paradox is a seeming, not a real, contradiction. We so easily fall into a happiness religion. We want to feel good and preach nothing but gospel and have people commend us on what fine preachers we are. They do that when they like what you say. But there come times when Christ becomes a sword, and that means it is painful and may lead to everlasting death if repentance does not take place. That's a judgment of God. What is a judgment of God? Supposing you were asked in a theological interview, what is a judgment of God? Would you be able to answer that question? It's very, very simple. A judgment of God is an act of His whereby He divides His own children from the children of the world. The first great one was the flood. The flood was more than just destruction. It was the salvation of Noah and his family. They were born up in the ark, and thus they were saved. All the rest, of course, were destroyed. The final judgment will be a judgment very similar to that. Christ will simply divide his own from those who are not his own, the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. And between those two occasions, the flood and the final judgment, there are thousands of judgments going on. Some of them are imminent, others not so. But it goes on all the time, as Christ says here, even in families. For I will come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes will be those of his own household. Nothing divides like a difference in religion. And it's severe. And it is painful. It is very, very painful. I'm going to mention just a few judgments which have come about in church history. You remember the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. How Elijah won the day for the Lord on Mount Carmel. And then Jezebel said, listen, prophet, if I catch you, it'll be your death. And so he ran. And he wound up in the Negev. And let's not laugh because he pitied himself, because this was a judgment of God. God came as a sword on this occasion. And he had to comfort Elijah with the fact that there were 7,000 who had not yet bowed the knee to Baal. There were a lot of divisions in families in those days, but God divided his own from those who were not his own. Or think of the destruction of Jerusalem. It was more than just destruction. God warned his own children. He said, when this destruction comes, you run. Get out of that city. And they did. Josephus tells us that the Christians fled to Pella. Those of you who have studied early fathers know of the terrific controversy between Arius and Athanasius. Athanasius, the big bishop, denied the divinity of Jesus in such a subtle way that people didn't know what was going on. But Arius, the bishop, was really saying that Christ was not equal to the Father in substance, and Athanasius spotted that heresy, and he was thrown out of the Roman Empire 5 times because he had the effrontery to stand up against this bishop. And he died thinking that the truth had failed. But then somebody happened to think, let's ask Arius whether Christ is homoousios or homoiousios. You know those two expressions. The first one means like God in substance. The second one means similar to God in substance. Well, they had him. He said, Christ is homoiousios. And then, of course, the heresy came out in the open. But it was extremely painful through those years. But Athanasius never backed down. Or think of the Reformation, another great judgment, when God divided his own from those who were not his own. And think how Luther suffered during those years until his death, not only in spirit, but in body. Or think of the great controversies in the Synodical Conference 100 years ago, the Gnadenval strike, the Predestinarian controversy, and the controversy about justification by faith. Those were some real battles in those days, but our fathers, thank God, did not back down. Or think of the controversy in the Missouri Synod 20 years ago about the word. And you know, there were a lot of people who were saying, you don't love me, you don't agree with what I'm saying, so you don't love me. Well, you know, Luther answered that one long ago. Long ago, read Luther, especially his Galatians commentary, where he says again and again, when there comes a difference in doctrine, faith stands firm and love yields to everything, just like Christ. He wouldn't give up a thing he said. But when he was crucified, he could pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Or think of Jesus in John 7, at the time of the occasion of... I'm preaching too long. I'll stop now. What was I talking about? John 7, the occasion of the Festival of the Tabernacles. His brothers and sisters said, hey, you got a good thing going for you. These miracles really give you good image. Now go on down to Jerusalem at the festival. Everybody's going to be there. And just do a lot of miracles. Man, your stock will really go up. They weren't touting him. They weren't taunting him. They really meant what they said. But they didn't recognize that the miracles proved that he was very God, a very God. Just think how painful that must have been to him. It came first and foremost to him. Now, all Christians have to stand firm when it comes to doctrine. They dare not yield. They must be like Luther said, stand firm in the faith, and of course, love people at the same time. And let me tell you, that's not easy to do. If God doesn't do it for you, you won't. Now, there's just one very comforting thing in conclusion. You remember where St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:19 that factions must come so that the approved, hoi dokimoi, might stand out. God brings a blessing out of occasions like this, when Christ comes as a sword. Out of this painful situation, God identifies those who are his, just like he identified them in the ark. We know precisely who were his and who weren't. Just like you will on Judgment Day, you will see them. You will know who are his and who are not. So may God give you the strength to distinguish when Christ comes to grant you peace or when Christ comes as a sword. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.